1, 2, 1, 2, 3. The Local Youth Worker is a podcast brought to you by Reformed Youth Ministries. Since 1972, RYM has sought to reach and equip youth for Christ, and this podcast seeks to reach and equip those parents and youth workers who share that same desire. For more information on our student conferences, youth leader training, or resources, visit rym.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Local Youth Worker, a podcast brought to you by Reformed Youth Ministries. I'm your host, John Parrott. This is episode number 385. In just a little bit, Linda, and Chris will be joining me once again to talk about insecurities of life and ministry. And then after that, I will be talking to Grace Thweet, who has developed a devotional app and blog that we want to encourage people to check out. Joe Deegan will be joining me for that interview as well, because Grace actually grew up in his youth group. So be sure to stick around for that. In just a minute, you're going to hear a message from RYM's executive director, Brent Corbin, as he talks about ways in which you can support this ministry. We don't do this a lot on the podcast, but we definitely want to encourage churches to partner with us and what we're trying to do to serve the local church. And so Brent's going to talk a little bit about that. I just want to also remind everyone to check out our show notes in this podcast. There are various links that we'll be sharing, and so we want to tell everyone to check those out, as well as the timestamps. If you want to move around in this episode a little more easily, be sure to check those out. For now, here is Brent.
Hey, everyone. This is Brent Corbin, Executive Director for RYM. It has been such a great year of doing ministry with you and alongside you. And I want you to know that as a staff, we pray for those with whom we are connected through our various ministry avenues, and we love partnering with you in ministry to the next generation. We don't do this a lot on our podcast, but we'd love to ask for your support in ministry here at the end of the year. RYM exists through the generosity of people and churches like you. It may be that you're able to give to RYM as an individual, and you can do that right now at rym.org/donate. Or maybe you know that your church is looking for meaningful ministries to support here at the end of the year. We would love for you to introduce RYM to your church by connecting us with them. You can email me directly. My email is bcorbin@rym.org. And if you or someone from your church wants to ask more about what giving to RYM entails and how the funds are used, we welcome that inquiry. Please, again, just email me, bcorbin@rym.org. In RYM, we find great enjoyment and motivation in our mission to serve the local church. And as we end 2022 and prepare for the exciting year of ministry ahead, we again would appreciate your help in making that a reality. Again, please visit rym.org/donate. And from the RYM staff to you, happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
Hey, everybody. I'm back here with Linda, Chris, and Lynn. We're talking about insecurities of life and ministry. We were concluding last week talking about imposter syndrome. And really, I mean, Chris kind of brought up the tension of, you know, where can we have confidence and where are we to be just kind of sobered by our calling? And so much of that, I just think of, I mean, Paul talking about who's sufficient for these things. To me, in ministry, we've got to have that humility. I mean, just, yeah, we've got to be humbled by the fact that we're called to do something, and specifically addressing this or applying this to youth ministry, something that, I mean, seminary doesn't prepare us for so often. Just life is going to happen, all kinds of crazy scenarios that you couldn't have read a book to prepare for or whatever. And so we've got to be humbled in those. I mean, thinking of the scenario you kind of painted for us, Chris, of sitting down with coffee with a student and they share something and you're just thinking, oh, wow, now it's, they're sharing this big story right now, and there's going to come a pause in the conversation where they're looking to me to reply and to like give the answer, you know. And we need to feel some of the, if we want to say, insecurities of that, to say, look, Lord, help us. We cannot do it. So there is that balance. That's kind of, I think, where we're concluding. But Linda, I'd love for you to jump in and talk about this as well, because we ran out of time last week.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if some of it for a lot of us in ministry is like that we haven't been mentored in some of these ways. You know, it's like, hey, we know how to run programs and do some of the other stuff, but if we feel you know, like, oh, like my prayer life is not what it should be, or I'm not the person who knows how to be present and minister in those moments, well, like maybe some of us were trained in those other things, but we haven't had like people just really pour into us in ways that like that just kind of rubbed off on us. So I just think that for a lot of people in ministry, we have not had those opportunities. And that probably feeds into it for a lot of us. And then maybe there's, you know, some of the like celebrity culture of Christianity that feeds into it too, where it's like, oh, like as people are starting to look to me, it feels like I should be like this famous Christian person. And we forget like they're just a person too. You know, so yeah, for me, like those are a couple of things on my mind that I'm like, I wonder if those things like feed into it some. And make it so that we experience it in like this unique way in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Linda, could you unpack the celebrity aspect a little bit more? Like, are you saying we kind of look to some of these, you know, the quote unquote celebrity Christians and what they're able to accomplish and what they're able to do, and we're aspiring to that? Is that some of what you're saying?
Yeah, some of that. And even like, to bring it down to like our level, right? It's like, here we are in a podcast, which probably makes a lot of people think that like we really know what we're doing in ministry. And there are so many times where I'm like, I really wonder if people think that I'm way better at ministry than I am because I have two podcasts. And then like RYM and CPYU like both want my voice. And I'm like, y'all don't understand. There are other people who are way better at so many things than I am. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just like, as soon as someone gets some sort of a voice out there recognized by some, it's like we think, oh, like they know what's up, they've got it together. Mm-hmm. And then the imposter syndrome like sets in because I'm like, no, like I don't, like I just happen to know how to say things that sound smart or something, you know, like yeah,
you can play the game, so to speak, a little bit. But no, that's a very good point. Yeah. And to me, there's so much, I mean, as we're talking about a podcast, there is so much platform seeking that's out there now. And I mean, a reluctance on my part to even have this because I feel that imposter syndrome of, man, yeah, I did youth ministry for a while and the Lord no doubt has taught me. And we can say that all of us have gleaned, you know, wisdom that we can share to others. But at the same time, it's like, man, I don't need to be the one doing any of this. Somebody else needs to be up there doing, you know, speaking into these issues or whatever. So Lynn, Chris, you guys want to jump in here, respond to anything, comment?
It's a difficult subject. I mean, it just is. And on the one hand, if you say, no, I'm just confident in Christ's calling on my life, you risk appearing arrogant. And on the other hand, if you say, I don't know what I'm doing here, man, you risk appearing incompetent. You know, while we're doing interviewing processes for people to work in our ministry, you know, the big question is, do you want to be here? Right. And all of us were probably asked that, like, why do you feel like you're called into ministry? Is one of those preliminary questions of being hired to a church to work with youth or any area of ministry. And it's a question of, do you want to be here? Do you belong here? Why do you feel you're called into ministry in order to be ordained? You know, whatever you have, that's a huge board that you come before and you have to prove the case to them that you are called to be there and ordainable, basically. So it's a hard thing to navigate. I don't know if there's an exact recipe that I can think of that would really clarify it in a balanced way. Yeah. Is that fair?
Totally. And I think if we go back to, you know, the segment that we had prior to this current segment on insecurities, life and ministry, thinking rest of development, I think we've established there's no real balance between kind of the work and rest, quote unquote balance in life. Like there's always going to be a wrestling. There's not going to be a point in which you arrive. And so I think we could say this falls into that category. I mean, we're broken, finite creatures, and you know, we have these eternal souls inside of us. And so I think some of the insecurities are kind of our eternality bumping up against our finiteness and realizing we're not whole individuals. And so we're going to continue to wrestle with this. But I think, again, you brought up just an important distinction of just the false humility and the arrogance. It's like we're so, we don't want to come off as arrogant, cocky know-it-alls. And so we oftentimes are self-aware enough to know how to not sound like that. But sometimes we can play that off with false humility. And then there's a part that I think we're just, it's hard for us to receive compliments, and they're very self-focused maybe when we receive it. It's like, we cannot just say, look, yeah, I'm gifted in this way. And saying that actually implies there's a giver behind that and not me, not the individual. And so I think it's just a mixture of all of that. I mean, there's a lot going on there and a lot more to say about that, but it's some of that. So Lynn, Linda, do y'all want to jump in on this? I saw y'all nodding.
I mean, I do have a thought.
Yeah, go for it, Chris.
I didn't want to jump in front of Linda.
Go for it.
So this concept of selfishness is like this, we are turning in on ourselves. We're always turning in on ourselves. We're making everything about us. We're, you know, relationships we have, we're trying to reap the benefits of others to benefit ourselves. And it's conjuring this selfishness, right? And that's happened since the garden, since the fall. And, you know, insecurities are an act of turning in on ourselves, ultra sensitivity to ourselves and to the outside atmosphere and environment and its effect on us or our effect on it. But something that dislodges a stone or a piece, a cornerstone of security in our own lives, right? So, and when this piece is gone, you take the car and one tire is off and it's no longer stable. It's no longer secure, and there's no longer has a control. And so we pause and we turn in on ourselves, and we try to protect ourselves in that insecurity. I feel like I experience that all the time. I feel like a lot of people experience that all the time, where an outside force takes the wheel off my car and I begin to wobble. And I, you know, and then at that point you have two options. You can stop and you can ask for help, or you can continue and grind on, you know, and cause a wreck, grind the wheel. Like there's, you know, but virtually you just have to stop and to really pay attention to what's going on and turn to the Lord and be like, Jesus, I can't do this without you. And insecurities are not the greatest curse in the history of ministry either. I know there's so many times in my life, even in, you know, marriage, friendship, work, whatever, where insecurities caused me to stop and say, there is a tire missing from my car and I am going to cause a wreck if I don't change, if something doesn't happen. Where insecurities have really benefited me a lot and the people around me and caused me to go to my counselor, go to my friends, my lifelines, whatever, and just say, hey, the tires are coming off and I just need to talk to somebody. So experiencing insecurities in a vacuum is deadly. But experiencing insecurities in a community where you're transparent can be a huge gift to life and ministry. And so if you're experiencing, you know, when we're experiencing insecurities and we isolate, problems and bad decisions happen.
That's brilliant. I think that's so great.
We hear it all the time, how when people in ministry experience insecurities and they go into isolation and then they have affairs or they start down the porn road, or they just continue to make bad decisions. So if you don't stop in your insecurity and seek help immediately, some of those things, they tend to happen. We tend to make worse and worse decisions in our insecurities. And that's all I have to Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks, Forrest. Did y'all get the Forrest Gump reference, by the way,
that he said? Yeah.
Okay. Making sure that wasn't
otherwise, I appear very insensitive.
I became very insecure in that moment. No, Chris, I'm glad you're saying that. And, you know, Tree kind of made that comment as well. And it's like part of the reason I think we're having this segment of the podcast is to encourage people, like, speak up, share with other people, do not isolate, don't just be in your own head with these insecurities. Because you're going to find out as you share, everybody's going to be like, yep, I struggle with the same thing. And we need to hear that. Lynn, I think you were about to say something as well. So, and we've had some technical issues. So we think Lynn's with us.
Praise the Lamb. Okay. But yeah, Chris, I loved the car analogy. I thought that was so easy to understand. And yeah, I thought that worked so well. So thank you for that new tool in my toolbox. But going to the false humility, I remember being at a conference when I was a college student, and one of the leaders was saying, like, your false humility serves nobody. And it doesn't like what John was saying, which is crazy that I could hear everything that was going on, but I couldn't unmute. But John was saying that it points, like, when we acknowledge a gift that we've been given, it points to the gift giver. And I know students struggle with that of like, oh my gosh, especially girls taking compliments. They're like, no, you know, like, oh, you look really nice. Like, no, you know, I'm like, whatever. I'm like, no, okay. Just acknowledge this like talent or gift that you've either worked on or been given, or this like beauty that God's given you, or whatever it is. Like, false humility doesn't serve anybody. And I think it is another form of insecurity of that, just like, well, I don't want to seem like conceited of like, oh, I know I look good. You know, it's not like that. But I thought that, yeah, I just remember when he said your false humility serves nobody. And I had been doing that at that point. I was like, oh, I need to stop that and say, thank you. And this is a gift that I have.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't the rich young ruler have false humility?
Maybe so.
To some degree. I mean, I didn't perceive in reading that that he had this big ego or arrogance about him, but he was asking a question, how can I inherit? Right. And it seems to me there's this false humility that Jesus kind of tore right through it. And okay, you know, you've done this, and this. Go sell everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a very gentle answer, but it was extreme to cut through the core of, okay, well, if you really mean this, go do this. Mm-hmm. And that cut through the false humility of what was going on with him. If I'm perceiving that correctly, yeah. I think it.
Now, I'd like to think about it more, but to me, it seems like you're spot on, and that's a good point. I know we're about to draw this to a close. Linda, any final word from you as we draw this to a close?
If I could do like a book recommendation drop that connects with something we've been talking about. So yeah. the whole idea that like we have to talk about our insecurities, that's like what helps us. I don't know how many people are familiar with Kurt Thompson's work on shame. He talks about this with shame, where what you want to do in your shame is to hide it and cover it, but actually the only thing that's going to help you work through it is to expose it and share it with others. So The Soul of Shame is a book where he talks about that. That has been very helpful to me recently. And yeah, if you want to think about insecurities kind of on the level of shame, that can be a good resource to look at. He has all sorts of like podcast stuff on it too.
Mm. That's helpful. That book is on this shelf right here and I have not read it yet. So you might've just nudged me to pick that up. So look, we need to draw this to a close. I know Linda, you've got a meeting you need to be at as well. I know we were talking kind of before, we want to talk about students as well and their insecurities, and we haven't gotten to that yet. So next week we'll plan on discussing that a little bit more. Right now here is Grace Thwaite. Grace, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, and you're here with Joe as well. Joe, how's it going?
Going great. Happy to be on here today.
Yeah, I'm happy to get the two of you on here. Grace, we're going to be talking about your devotional app entitled Renew. We're going to talk about some other things as well. But you and Joe, a Okay, y'all go way back. How long have you guys known each other? I just want to put you on the spot and see if you know this off the top of your head.
Let's see.
Let's see if Grace knows. It's easy for me.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's the year I moved to Houston, which would have been 09. And I started working for the youth ministry at Christ the King. And Grace was, I guess, sixth grade.
Yeah.
When I started. Okay. Wow.
And see, I'm not even trying to do math. Yeah. So, how long is that? Anybody? Yeah.
13 years. Yeah. Wow. That's how long I've been in Houston. So that's the answer. Yeah. Grace was one of the first people that I met in the youth group. Because when I first started out, the guy who I was working with, John Trapp, who is now the pastor at our church in Houston, but he told me that he wanted me to start a music team with the youth group. And he said, and the first person you're going to start with is this little sixth grade girl named Grace Van Lowe, because she plays piano, sings, and writes her own songs. And so I started working with Grace, and she helped me build the music team with the youth group.
Wow. Okay, so I already have to ask. Okay, sixth grade, you're writing your own songs. Is that right?
Yeah, I went back and listened to some the other day, and I remember them being a lot better at the time than now. But yeah, I remember loving doing worship with youth group. That was like, I was always so shy, like singing in front of people growing up. So that was like really my first kind of exposure. And leading worship is different than performing, you know, which I think is, I liked having that communal aspect. But yeah, I wrote and recorded some songs, and Joe and I recorded some together as well in high school. So we've been doing music for a while together.
We did, you know, we did some, I think I remember some of that stuff we did when you were in middle school and high school, and I wasn't very good back then either. And so that stuff probably wasn't that great, but then we ended up recording some stuff together, like more professionally down the road.
Yeah,
and Grace is actually on some of the RYM worship stuff. And so it's kind of fun to look back and see how it evolved, all through, because I was growing a lot as a musician during that time too. And so that's kind of interesting to look back on.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So for those who listen to RYM Worship, which everyone who's listening to this, you should listen to RYM Worship, and you should follow them, all kinds of stuff, whatever you need to do. What have you two collaborated on that people might be familiar with?
I know that from the very first RYM Worship album, Grace sang on Child of the King and More Than We Know, which were two of the songs that I wrote. I can't remember if there were other ones, because Grace has done some stuff on some of my other individual albums as well. And I've sung on some of her stuff. So a lot of it blends together after a while, but I think I know those two for sure on the RYM Worship front.
All right. Well, that's cool. Well, and again, like I said, I'm going to keep saying renew, cause we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I'm wondering, any early stories the two of you might have on each other from youth ministry. I mean, Joe, you kind of just shared one of your first memories had to do with the music team. But, you know, Grace, do you have any stories that come to mind about Joe? Any funny stories? Joe, same on you. Do you have any early stories you want to share? You don't have to.
I have like a vivid memory of being woken up and being kidnapped by John Trapp and Joe Deegan. And I was in middle school. I remember I had like all my dolls, American Girl dolls, in my room. And I was like, this is so embarrassing.
We would the beginning of every summer, we would do like our big kickoff, and we would kidnap all the new middle schoolers.
I remember doing with the whole middle school youth group, we laid a tarp down on the ground and put all kinds of mayonnaise and ketchup and mustard all over the tarp and candy. And they would wrap us up in saran wrap, and we would wiggle across the tarp trying to eat the candy.
That was in y'all's backyard.
Yeah.
That was the first ever youth event I did in Houston.
Really?
That was like my first day on the job, was at y'all's backyard. I'm remembering that now.
I was like, church is awesome. I love this.
So, okay, there's mayonnaise and ketchup and there's candy in it, and you're having to eat that?
Yes.
It was a lot of gross stuff. Yeah.
Wow. And I don't want to just gloss over the fact that you guys kidnapped middle schoolers.
With the parents' permission, let me just throw that in there.
So, I mean, what, were you showing up early at these people's homes?
And... We'd just show up at their house, like grab them out of bed, like maybe blow a bullhorn in their face or something, and then throw them on the van and then take them to the location where we played all the messy games. And that was like our middle school initiation.
Wow. So begin that with like a panic attack. That's crazy. But I do think of like, I mean, Joe's a very just kind of even keel kind of guy. I think of John Trapp, him waking people up. I mean, I bet that was hilarious. Those who wild. Listen and know John Trapp. Well, that's great. Well, and again, before we get into discussing the devotional a little bit, I'd love for you to talk about music. I mean, the two of you, again, you're sharing some of those kind of early memories of music, but I know you've been working on some projects as well. Why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of my testimony is this season of like spiritual doubt I went through. Really, it started in middle school, like in sixth grade. And I just, you know, I'd grown up in the church and always kind of just believed in God. Don't remember a time when I didn't. And then all of a sudden, started asking these questions like, what if God's not real? What if heaven's not real? How do I know I believe all this? And I remember through that season, music being like the one thing that kind of made me feel like I could connect with God and like got me out of that, out of my head with all the doubts and questioning. And not that doubting's bad, it ended up being, you know, a really strengthening season, but I just remember music and specifically like hymns and the worship songs we sing in youth group being like, okay, I remember why I believe this. I'm experiencing God's presence right now. And so that kind of sustained me and got me through that season and kind of like just encouraged me to keep pursuing the Lord and reading his word, even in that season of doubt. So music has just always been an important part of my life, just because of that role it's played in my relationship with God. And then we talked about earlier, was writing songs in middle school. And it was just kind of the main way I felt like I was able to, connect with and experience God. And then most recently, I recorded or I'm in the process of working on a lullaby album for really for moms, you know, with young babies, and just because I think the postpartum season can be hard and season with young kids. And so it's a lullaby album, and there's also like devotionals for each song for moms who maybe don't have a lot of time to like sit down and read, to be able to like listen to something while they're with their kids, with their baby. And so that ties in a little bit with my devotional ministry as well. But yeah, that's the most recent thing with music.
That's really cool. And so you're talking about as you're struggling, I mean, going back to middle school, some of these doubts, and then, like you said, that can be really healthy and good. So are you writing these songs, kind of speaking truth back to yourself, like in the midst of these doubts, or like talk us through that just a little bit?
Yeah, I think, for me, a lot of songwriting is almost like a prayer, but in music forms, like talking to God through song, or just kind of like taking like truth or something I've learned, or even just straight scripture and kind of like rewriting it in your own words. So yeah, mostly like talking to God or writing, you know, what I feel like he's been teaching me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I forgot to ask too, what instruments do you play?
Piano. Joe tried to teach me guitar for like a year. I don't know if I have in that. I remember the four chords that we learned.
That was also when I discovered what a terrible music teacher I am, because I don't really know how to teach that. And I think I came in with a lot of confidence and realized that I don't know how to communicate any of this. And so I probably shouldn't do this anymore.
I still remember what we learned. So
yeah. Look at that. There you go.
Very impactful.
Well, Grace, why don't you tell our listeners about your devotional app, And I feel like as I'm talking about this, I feel like an old person. Is that what you would say, a devotional app? Is that how you would describe this?
Yeah, so we're also on like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So it's similar to a podcast, but we also just host the episodes on our app as well, because it's just easier organization. But yeah, so there's an app and the podcast.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. I hate any time it's technology and I'm having to ask someone to explain it. I just feel so old. So why don't you give us maybe some origins of how this app came about?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier, like that season of doubting that I started going through in middle school. And I remember one of the first things I did when I started like asking these questions was like, I just need answers, and like open my Bible to a random passage. And was like, I don't feel better. This is not helping. And just didn't really know how to like study God's word yet. And I don't think I also had like context for the whole biblical story to know like, where does this passage fit in? How does it connect to Christ? And what does that mean for my life today? And so I really struggled for a couple years trying to read the Bible and not knowing how. And it was hard because I so desperately wanted that experience of like connecting with God and knowing him. And a lot of times I just walked away from my time in the word feeling like confused or frustrated or just even more lost. And so it started out frustrating, but it did turn into really a relationship with God's word of like loving to study his word and finding so much like purpose and peace and joy and coming to know Christ through his word. And so my passion is really like for other people to experience that, but I also know how hard it can be to read the Bible sometimes. And so basically what Renew is it's like a 10-minute audible quiet time. So you hear a short scripture passage read, and then there's like a little 5 to 7 minute teaching, you know, devotional on that scripture passage, and then a worship song at the end. And so my hope is just that like any barriers to getting into God's word of like not knowing where to start or feeling like I don't understand this or I don't have enough context for this yet, to feel like you can get in the word right away, understand it, and connect with God. And then from there, you know, going into deeper study on your own, you know, reading the physical Bible, doing Bible studies in community, I think all that is important. And, you know, just listening to someone else teach shouldn't stand alone, but I think it can be a helpful tool for people who are maybe like just starting a relationship with God and don't know like what a quiet time looks like. People and like, you know, if you're in like a dry season or a season of doubt where you're like, I just kind of need, you know, a little bit of help here to get going, or just in busier seasons where, you know, I think about a lot of like middle school and high schoolers are so busy these mm-hmm. days, and mm-hmm. to be able to like listen to something like on the drive to the school or on a walk or something, just kind of meeting people where they're at and taking away any barriers there might be to one like learning about God through his word, but also connecting with him. And so that's why I like that there's like a worship song at the end, so people have a chance to engage with God and respond to him and not just stop at like learning about him.
Yeah. Yeah. And Joe, I'd love for you to share too, that aren't you on the board of Renew, and talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's been really fun for me to get to do this kind of a little bit on the peripheral with Grace and to kind of walk through this with her. But me being on the board is mostly just seeing everything that Grace is doing and that the Lord's doing through her. I heard someone say one time that you won't know if you've done your job as a youth pastor until your kids are like in their 20s and they're and you see like the kind of lives they're living. And it's a really sweet thing to look at Grace and to see what the Lord's doing through her in this ministry. But I'll also say this as an encouragement to Grace, but also as an encouragement to any youth leaders out there listening. I think we can fall into the trap of thinking that youth ministry is kind of a one-way street. We're always pouring in to people. Grace is an example of someone that I look back on my time and realize like in these little teenagers can actually be really inspiring to you as youth mm-hmm. leaders, and they can actually teach you many things. And I just look at, I'm thinking back on just conversations I would have with Grace, and just seeing how much she loved God's word and how much she was in it every day and how much it shaped who she was. And that's so helpful and so inspiring for any adult to look at a younger person and to see that. And so I think what's really cool is to see how God was using that in those formative years, and this ministry's come out of it, and this really this sweet way of connecting with God's word and that Grace is pouring into. That's been a really fun thing for me to get to watch and to kind of walk alongside.
That's awesome to hear. And Grace, how long has Renew been around now?
About 2 years.
Okay. And
so I think really rolling with getting the ministry started like right after COVID hit, when we were quarantined at home. I was like, I've got to do something. So yeah, a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, that's just one more testimony to hear some of the fruit that came from, you know, that horrible season we look back and think about, but how the Lord has used that for good in so many ways. I'd love for you too. I know you said Renew is available Spotify and other platforms, but you know, I've seen the app, and you know, as you pull it up, I mean, there's a lot of tabs there. Why don't you just kind of walk us through that? Of okay, somebody hears this and they're like, "Hey, I want to check this out for the first time." They download the app. Just kind of, what's your kind of guidance for them as they first, you know, open up this app?
Yeah. So on the homepage, there's always like just one devotional featured up there, and each one's designed to where you could just listen to standalone devotional, and there's enough context to, you know, that it could be enough standalone. But really how it's designed to be used is, you know, I think books are meant to be read as a whole, or passages as a whole, and so each devotional is in the context of a series. So like we've got a series through Genesis, a Psalm series, a Job series. And so for someone who's looking for, you know, I want to do like a 15-day plan or a 7-day plan, something like that. Each series is like a different number of devotionals. And if you click on the devotionals tab, it just shows all those different series up there. The one that we've been going through this year is called Cover to Cover, and it's a Through the Bible series. And so those are organized by like the Torah, the historical books, the wisdom books, minor prophets. So that's something where like you could just do one section of books, or the whole thing is like a 60-part series, which is, you know, pretty long. But my heart behind that, I mentioned this earlier, of like gaining a context for the whole story of the Bible, I feel like can just be really helpful to have that foundation. So there's one devotional for every book of the Bible, with a couple like First and Second Kings are together. And but each devotional shows like, how does this book find its fulfillment in Christ? And then how does it also connect to the larger story, you know, culminating in Christ's return and in the new creation. So that's been a really fun series to work on. And I'm excited. We'll finish up Revelation in December. So yeah, we're kind of in the process of releasing that right now.
Wow. There's a lot you just said that I like a lot, but I mean, context, you know, I just think of, you know, there's so much out there that can just take scripture and rip it out of context and give it just an entirely unbiblical meaning. And so the fact that you're trying to keep it in context, trying to help those listeners get the big picture of scripture, and like you said, connect it to Christ as well. But you were saying so many books how many of these do you have now? And I mean, how many books have you, I mean, you said you have one for every book, but then whole books. Anyway, just curious how much you've got out there. If you're able to know, I don't know.
And real quick too, they're all recorded, recording based, like, mm-hmm. 'Cause I know you have some written aspects to this, but it kind of started as just audio.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, there's probably like 15 to 20 ish different devotional series.
Okay.
And they range from like, you know, a 4-part series to 20 parts. So they're all different links. But wow. I think our biggest one is the one through the Psalms, and that just kind of takes 15 different Psalms. And we tried to, you know, pick Psalms of lament, Psalms of praise, like different types of Psalms. And that, that series is just kind of like walking you through, like, what does it look like to bring my like emotions before God and examine them in light of his word and find, you know, emotionally solid ground, knowing that God is also a God of compassion, and he doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to have feelings, but what does it look like to ground myself in him? So that's probably has been our most popular devotional series.
Wow. And you said you're about to finish up Revelation, and I'm just curious kind of some of the behind the scenes. How much time goes into, I mean, one of these? I mean, you're talking about, you know, reading, studying, kind of understanding context, then actually writing it down probably, and then recording it, everything. I mean, just kind of give us a picture behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah. So normally the process starts with, normally it's been like a book that maybe I previously did like in my quiet time, and I was like, oh, that book really meant a lot to me. I'd love to, you know, go even more in depth and setting and share what I've been learning with other people. So then I'll just kind of do like another study through it again, use different commentaries, listen to like sermon series on it. The Help Me Teach the Bible podcast with Nancy Guthrie has been really helpful for me. Any Tim Keller sermons. So there's just kind of this like inductive study process. And then I'll start writing, send the drafts to my editor. She'll edit them. Then it's like the editing feels like you're basically rewriting everything again. And so for one series, it's probably, I don't know, I think I calculated it one time, maybe like 15 hours goes into each devotional, something like that.
Wow.
So it's a process, but it's fun because it's, you know, there's lots of different parts to the process.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I know it's hard and tedious at the same time, but then, you know, through that whole process, I know you're learning new things and the Lord's revealing things through all that.
I think one of the things I appreciate about the Renew devotional is kind of what you were saying earlier, John, that it's in context with the Bible, because you think about all the content you have, how easy it would be to just, like, you know, you can look at other kind of devotional based series or a website or an app, and it can be very topical. Like, I'm going to go kind of like a buffet. Like, I'm going to go pick out the things that I want that are really going to fit me right now. And I love that you're really just pointing people to the Bible and saying, here's a study on Job. Here's a study on the Psalms, like, and walking people through that whole context. And you know, obviously when you go through Job, you're going to walk through the topic of suffering. When you go through Psalms, you're going to walk through the topics of rejoicing and lament. But it's, I love that you're leading with the Bible instead of just leading with like little buffet style
topics. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or else I feel like we kind of gravitate towards the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas when we go through like a book or a portion of a book, it's like, we're being presented with like, this is what God wants us to hear, not just something that I'm seeking out.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, I cut you off. You go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say another thing that I feel like I really learned from like the Reformed church, and then I try to incorporate with my teaching, is like not having it be the application of like, you need to like go and do all these things and be a better Christian. And, you know, you're walking away trying to, I just need to try harder, but really rooting the application in like, this is what Christ has done for you. Like, this is the love of God for us that we see in this passage. And so, you know, moved by that love, like, yes, your life is going to change and application is going to come, but it's all motivated by what Christ has done for me and not me just going to try and be better for him. Because I feel like you do kind of see that a lot in some teaching out there. And then you walk away just like feeling guilty or like you're not doing enough. And so I really want the motivation in all these devotionals to just be, you know, I'm moved by the love of Christ. And so I'm going to respond and my life is going to look different because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so neat. I mean, it's one thing to have a concept like this and then to finally, you know, put pen to paper, so to speak, and then get the content out there. And this has been going on for 2 years now. I'm just curious, what have you seen from this? What sort of feedback have you heard? Have you heard from anyone, you know, that's been impacted by it?
Yeah, I actually shared this with Joe at our last board meeting. One big group of people we've been getting feedback from is like people in seasons of suffering, like specifically like physical suffering, where it might feel harder to sit down and read something. So like people, we got an email from a dad the other week that, you know, his daughter was going through a season of depression and they went through the Psalms series together. And so people that are struggling with like mental health or physical health, that seems to be a big demographic that's benefited from the format of being able to like listen to something and continue doing a quiet time with God, even when you're not really feeling your best. So I think that's been a big group that we've gotten feedback from. And then the other is kind of what we've been talking about, of people enjoying being able to like understand books as a whole and doing that like scripture led study versus topical. So yeah, that's been two big pieces of feedback, I think.
That's so encouraging. I know we're about to start wrapping this up. I did have another question, but Joe, did you have anything you wanted to chime in on before we close this down?
I think I'll just say, when we think about the demographic that this would go towards, I mean, it could be anybody. I kind of like how open-ended a lot of it is, that it's because it's kind of meant for a person to pick up on their own. I would, as we're thinking about the context of this podcast, I would really encourage youth leaders and parents to go, if you're looking for something. I think we're constantly looking for resources in life, but what I love about this is that there's an element of kind of stopping and resting in God's word that this is. And I would just encourage anyone to say, hey, this may not necessarily be a resource or something that's going to help you do something else, but it's the word of God, and it's a study in God's word, and it's a way for you to slow down and to get into a daily rhythm of walking with him. And I would, it could be for youth, but even for like youth leaders and parents listening to this, this could just be a really helpful thing for you to put into a daily rhythm in your own life.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And I'm thinking, you know, parents commuting, taking their children to school, it's like you just hit play. And it's like you don't have to prepare a devotion, and then you can kind of have some conversation. That comes in handy. Before we wrap this up, Grace, I was just curious, kind of your vision for Renew in the next, you know, year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, down the road. What are some thoughts you have?
Yeah. I would love, I mentioned that we have like one worship song at the end of every devotional. And right now we're super blessed to be able to license from worship artists. We're hopefully going to get to feature some RYM songs on the Revelation devotional series, but I think it'd be really cool in the future. We've produced one original worship song, but to expand that a little bit, where we're writing music straight from the scripture that's being taught on. So some original music, you know, geared towards exactly what's being taught in that devotional. And then I'd also just love to have like expand our writing staff so that we can be putting out maybe like a new devotional daily. Instead of, right now it's just one new one a week. And so, yeah, just to where we have, you know, a series for every book in the Bible. Just kind of expand our catalog there, get some different voices, different authors contributing. I'd love to see it expand in that way.
Well, that's exciting. Well, just reminding everyone, Renew is the name of the ministry. You can check it out on Spotify. You said Apple Music, as well as download the app.
And it's Renew Devotionals is like the full name that you search on.
Good deal.
Spotify and Apple and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Grace, thanks so much for taking the time to come on the podcast today. And thanks so much for all the work you're putting into this ministry.
Yeah, I'm grateful to be able to be on here and thankful for RYM and all y'all are doing as well.
Oh, come and buy without money. Oh, come and feast without